From the Tech Sideline High Tech Studios in Blacksburg, Virginia, it's Thursday, March 28th, 2024, and this is TSL Today. We hope you enjoy our audio format of TSL Today as we focus on a quick and easy news update on everything Hokie sports for your commute home. I'm your host, Carter Hill, and today we'll sit down with managing editor David Cunningham to talk the transfer portal entries for Tech Men's Hoops and what Mike Young needs to do to climb out of a hole. That's all coming up next on TSL Today. This episode of TSL Today is brought to you by The Hokie Way. The Hokie Way supports student-athletes in leveraging their name, image, and likeness to amplify the mission of charitable organizations as a way to give back to the community. Your contributions to The Hokie Way support Hokies NIL are tax-deductibles. Visit thehokieway.org to learn more. Also, quick note before we get started, because this is always how podcasts work, of course. Lynn Kidd, since we recorded, has committed to Miami, so the Hokies will see him twice next season. Doesn't really change a lot of the content, though. So with that, let's get right into it. All right, and with that, let's welcome in our managing editor, David Cunningham. David, as always, we appreciate your time. And obviously, a lot of the conversation this week has been centered around the women's program, and probably rightfully so, but there's a lot to talk about with Tech Men's basketball, too, and we just kind of touched on it. Virginia Tech, their roster is kind of in flux right now. I mean, Lynn Kidd, John Camden, Sean Padula, MJ Collins, Malaysia Potsi, they're all in the transfer portal. What's your reaction?
I'm not surprised. It's funny. Some of the same people who were on social media, you know, complaining about all these guys throughout the year and, oh, man, I hope these guys leave and, you know, I don't want them on my team anymore. Well, they left. They entered the portal, and then people are like, "What the hell is going on?" It's like, well, you know, you asked for them to leave. Look, Mike Young needed to build to move some things around, move some pieces around, and kind of not start from scratch, but rebuild a big chunk of it. Right? We knew Hunter Couture and Robbie Barron were leaving. I was not surprised to see Sean Padula enter the transfer portal. I was not surprised to see MJ Collins enter the transfer portal. I was not surprised to see Lynn Kidd enter the transfer portal, though I think he's probably, in some ways, the most valuable member of the team because what he provides inside. Because 6'10 guys with that kind of athleticism don't come around very often. And Malaysia Boutique. My reaction is, it's this day and age in the transfer portal, and rebuilding your roster is something your coaches are going to have to get used to and something coaches are going to have to do. And it's not great, but at the same time, Mike Young was going to have to rebuild part of his roster anyway. And assuming he has the right resources, which I'm not sure he does, I think he probably needs more NIL backing. But this gives him the opportunity to completely reshape it how he wants. I said this, I believe, on the radio yesterday. Mike Young, when he constructed his program, he was hired in 2019. NIL and the transfer portal were not a thing yet. You could not transfer twice without being penalized. Notice how he never, like Keve Aluma and Justin Mutz had to, or maybe not Mutz, but Keve Aluma had to sit out when he transferred to Virginia Tech, right? There was no transfer portal, transfer immediately kind of thing. And now you'll see it on the women's side, but you'll see it on the men's side too. You are seeing it. Guys are leaving. And I think NIL now plays a bigger role where that wasn't a thing a couple years ago. And now it's, you have to have people that understand the market. And I'm not sure Mike Young does, but I think there will be some staff turnover. You're already seeing it a little bit. Ryan Nadeau left, Tech's director of player personnel position, to go get an assistant coaching job under Mike Jones at Old Dominion. I'm super happy for him. That's an awesome, awesome opportunity, and he really deserves it. I think, you know, there are rumors that Christian Webster might end up taking an assistant coaching job somewhere else. I think there will be some more, maybe turnover on staff, which gives Mike Young an opportunity to bring some people in here and kind of reshape it a little bit to, and with the same thing with the roster, reshape it to how he needs to play in today's game. And by today's game, I don't just mean today's game of basketball. I mean today's game in terms of the transfer portal and NIL. You have to be well-equipped in those areas. It's more about basketball now. I mean, Virginia Tech's starting five, and you know, you throw Malaysia Petit in there, Tech's main six players from this season, are there's a good chance none of them are playing in Blacksburg next year. And it just it stinks for college sports fans, because one of the things I think that's always made college sports so great is that if you get to know the players for 4 or 5 years. And I think teams like Duke didn't necessarily have a chance to do that often because they had a lot of one and dones. But a place like Virginia Tech, you got to know Eric Green. You got to know, Jarrell Eddy.
Yeah.
You got to know A.D. Visayo. You got to know a lot of these guys.
Justin Robinson.
Justin Robinson. Chuck Chiquite.
Going way back.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Xavier Dowdell, Jamon Gordon, Deron Washington. I mean, like, you know, Malcolm Delaney, Terrell Bell, Jeff Allen. Like, there are so many guys over the years that Tech fans got a chance to know and support. And even the guy like Hunter Couture, where Mike Young said, like, you know, who knows when the next 4 or 5 year player we're going to see at Virginia Tech is going to be. Like, who knows? Hunter Couture was the first recruit Mike Young ever had. And in a way, I think it's very fitting that he's now leaving, because now you're seeing this exodus a little bit. And I think it's going to be the start of something new for Virginia Tech, for Mike Young, for what he wants to do. People are saying he should be on the hot seat, whatnot. He went 10-10 in the ACC this year. He understands that the NCAA tournament isn't good enough, but in this day and age, he has retention is the main thing. He has to be able to retain players, and you're not seeing that. That's a little bit of an issue. But at the same time, the current roster was not in a good spot. I think we all knew that. Mike Young now has a chance to start from scratch, essentially, and build it from the ground up. If he can do that, great. If he can't, then there are going to be some questions. Then there are going to be a lot of issues. But he's got another opportunity to kind of shape it how he wants. And he's essentially got 7 open roster spots. Like, he can go get whoever he wants out of the transfer portal, because there's plenty of playing time to go around.
Well, with that being said, you mentioned the entire starting five is gone, and your top 6 players are gone. So this is a very blunt question, but how much is that a problem for Virginia Tech? And you also touched on just a minute ago, you were talking about how he's going to have to rebuild the roster. Is it even a possibility that he's going to be able to rebuild the roster to an NCAA tournament level with the NIL funding that's going his way? Loaded question, I know.
I think it's possible. I think they've got to be really smart about it. And you also have to find kids that are probably willing to maybe take less than, you know, maybe their market value. The one big contributor that comes back from last year is Tyler Nickel. You've essentially got Tyler Nickel, Brandon Recksteiner, Jaden Young, and Patrick Wessler.
And who knows?
None of those guys were on the team 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Wessler was. Wessler was the lone player on the team 2 years ago, but he redshirted. Mike Young's a good coach. Like, let's not get that twisted. Like, people like to say Mike Young's not a good coach. He is. Mike Young's a good coach. Now, what he struggled with is to retain players. And I think, like, some of the issues have been his fault, and some of them have been other things coming up, right? I wouldn't blame the Darius Maddox situation on him. But you could put some of the blame on the Rodney Rice situation on him. I think that was more of a two-way street. But guys like Darren Buchanan starting to leave, like, that puts you in a little bit of a hole. But I do think that you know, depending on who he goes and I mean, he's got essentially he can go get whoever he wants from the portal. You don't know who that's going to be, and you don't know what role they're going to play. And it's going to take some time. Listen to this. It's going to take some time for this team to figure it out at the beginning of the year, whoever's on the team, because none of them have played together before, for the most part, I would assume, and we don't know yet. But I think there's potential. It really just depends on who he goes and gets. Now, you mentioned the NIL thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that caps Virginia Tech a little bit, handicaps Tech a little bit, if anything. But I don't think it's impossible to go win. I don't think it's impossible to get good, talented players. But you just have to find the right kinds of guys. And I think the toughest part about it, so Tech has will have six scholarship players, including the two guys that are coming in the recruiting class. The toughest part about it is Mike Young, the last handful of years, I mean, really his entire tenure at Tech, there's been at least one guy a year who has not ended up panning out, whether it was Cartier Jada or whether it was Rodney Rice last year. He was injured, right? He didn't play. That's somebody you expect to be on your team and contribute, and it doesn't happen. And I think Mike Young has walked the fine line a little bit. By that, I mean he's set the team up to succeed. If everything goes to plan, this is how we will succeed. And when something happens, he doesn't necessarily have as sturdy of a net to catch the team. And I think you saw it this year. Like, you know, if Hunter Couture is hurt for more than a game, Tech is screwed. Hunter Couture only missed the Miami game. That could have been much more serious. And then that completely derails Tech season because there's no depth behind. So how does he combat that? How does he get essentially more depth in there? He's got seven guys he can bring in. You know, those seven guys, you need them to be all starting caliber guys. And then you need to continue to develop Brannon Recksteiner, and you need to continue to develop Jaden Young and Patrick Wessler, and Tyler Nickel will give you a big boost. And I think he's a guy that's got a bright future. But my point is, if Brent Pry misses on a football prospect, depends on what position it is. But if he misses on a wide receiver, okay, well, there are multiple other wide receivers to step up.
Right, it can be covered up a little bit
more. If you miss on a guard, that's a scholarship you've used, and that, like I feel bad about the Makai Long situation this year. I think that really hurt Tech, I think, more than people know. And I say I feel bad because it's like, if Makai Long doesn't get hurt, Makai Long gets hurt, Tech's essentially without two scholarship guys for the majority of the season. Rodney Rice was on scholarship at the beginning of the year, right? That's a guy Mike Young accounted for. And then Makai Long. You're playing essentially with 11 scholarship players, and Patrick Wessler and Brannon Recksteiner and Jaden Young weren't really playing. So you essentially got eight guys. And eight guys, and you've got limited backcourt depth, right? Like, what does Mike Young do in the offseason to combat that? The problem where, essentially, to make sure that if something happens, you've got sturdier depth behind it. I know it's tough. You've also always got to play the hypotheticals. But, like, basketball's a sport where, like, if one thing goes wrong, kind of derails your season a little bit more than maybe football, depending on the injury, because there are more guys you can have step up in football, right? Sean Padula goes down. Virginia Tech doesn't have a replacement for Sean Padula. And so I'm curious to see what he does, but I don't think it's impossible to think Mike Young succeeds. But I also think, you know, we won't really know until it's July and we know what the roster looks like.
Is this an uphill climb though for him?
Yes,
this offseason?
It is.
There you go. Sean Padula, he did mention in his tweet he's going to strongly, and this is straight from Sean, strongly consider returning to Virginia Tech. However you want to, I guess, read into that. Is there any chance he comes back next year?
I think there's a small chance. I believe his girlfriend goes to Virginia mm-hmm. Tech, and he has a good relationship with Mike Young. But I think for him, I think about it from a similar perspective of, like, maybe not to the extent, but of somebody like Georgia Amor, where he's playing away from his family. Now, his family doesn't live on the other side of the world. His family lives, you know, in Oklahoma. But that's still not close. His family, I believe, only get to come see him play once a year here. That's tough. I think if one of the Oklahoma schools or somebody in the Big 12 comes offering a place where his parents can see him play more often and gives him NIL, I think it's a no-brainer for him to take it because he gets to go play in front of home. You know, he took a leap of faith. He came here. He won an ACC championship as a freshman. But in a way, I think Mike Young has done him a tiny bit of a disservice because – he hasn't put the pieces around Sean for Sean to be able to succeed. People want to get on Sean for turning the ball over so many times a game. And yeah, like, he has some stuff he really needs to fix. At the same time, there are times where he's like trying to carry the entire team, put the entire team on his back, carry the entire load offensively, right? And I think at the end of the year, you saw, you know, Sean Padula was scoring pretty well. MJ Collins was scoring pretty well. Lynn Kidd was playing pretty well. Hunter Couture was kind of one piece that wasn't really on. But I think if I'm Sean Padula, and I, like, it makes complete sense for him to go and see if he can go get playing time closer to home. Because, like, I know his family means a lot to him. You know, he's one of nine siblings. That's a big family, and to really never had to have the opportunity to see them, to be so far away from all your friends and family, and to play on a team that, you know, kind of like right there, like, I'm sure he has NCAA tournament aspirations. He wants to go play on that stage. He's only gotten to do it once. So I would be surprised if he comes back, but I wouldn't rule it out. And he, you know, of the guys I think that would enter the portal, I think he might be the most likely to come back.
Okay.
But I think everybody's kind of in the same boat right now.
It is. I saw somebody on Twitter say, when he put that tweet out, that this gives off major testing free agency vibes.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a pretty good correlation
Is, welcome to the world of NIL, where if I'm not making what I want, I'm going to enter the portal and see who can throw the best deal at me.
Yeah.
Show me the money.
And Mike Young would welcome him back with open arms too. So he's going to have that luxury.
Yeah, but I also think, I mean, think about this though. This is all after players are having conversations with Mike Young. It's not like they're portaling out of the blue. Like, you know, Mike Young wasn't surprised about the Rodney Rice thing because he had a conversation with him before. But, like, having the conversation surprised him a little bit from what I recall in my conversations with Mike. That the Rodney Rice thing surprised him a little bit. That it happened, that, like, you know, oh, this is happening? Okay. But this kind of stuff, I mean, he spent an entire season with these guys now. He's been with them every day. And he just had conversations with them to end the season, kind of like an exit interview. And if some of these guys want to go try to play somewhere else, they want to try to make more NIL money, that's what it's going to be like in today's era of college basketball. And it kind of stinks, to be honest. I think it was Will Stewart, said on the message boards, like, you know, you're not rooting for the kids anymore. You're rooting for, you know, the jersey. Like, that's kind of the way it is. But, yeah, I mean, if they can go make more NIL money somewhere else, why shouldn't they? Like, that's, like, you know, you can ask about loyalty, and, yeah, they should be loyal to the school. Yeah, sure, but, you know, some of these kids won't play professionally, and if they have an opportunity to help their family now, to make money now, why not?
To your point about rooting for the jersey, not the player anymore, I don't know this for sure, but that's got to be tough for somebody like Mike Young, who has built his programs at Wofford and Virginia Tech, and just to see it become what it's become, it's got to be tough for somebody like him. I'll close with this. We mentioned consistently that Mike Young's got to build a new team. Where does he start? Like, what is priority number one for him?
A starter?
Well, but where do you start position-wise? Do you start with the point guard? You need a lot of depth at the four, the five.
I don't
five.
Know if it matters. You just start wherever you can get. I mean, and Chris Coleman's done a really good job of tracking this. Virginia Tech's offered a lot of guys in the portal.
Yeah.
I haven't even had the chance. I mean, it's been a busy week on the women's basketball side, obviously. I haven't had a chance to familiarize myself with a lot of these names, but, you know, like I know one name in there is JP Pegues from Furman, the guy who had that shot a couple years ago to beat Virginia. I think it was last year in the NCAA tournament. You know, there are a bunch of guys in the portal, a bunch of them. Who can you get? There are going to be a lot of mid-major guys. That's probably what it's going to be. It's probably going to be a lot of mid-majors. Yeah. Guys who can play at this level, but maybe haven't. And this is a better opportunity for them in terms of exposure, in terms of NIL. Because the guys who can go play at big, big, big programs are probably going to jump at the opportunity. But, I mean, even I saw this morning, like, Kevin Booby Miller from Wake Forest is entering the portal, right? Like this is not just a Virginia Tech thing. Wake Forest is having some of its best guys leave, right? You know, and obviously there are some teams that haven't finished their season yet. But, like, there are a lot of programs around the country that are having a lot of guys leave. That's just the way it is. That is the new era of college basketball. So you asked, where should Mike Young start? Start with whoever you can get. Okay. I think that's fair. Like, I don't know if there's a priority number one. I think, you know, I think you just go try to, I mean, you literally have to go build a starting five. That's what Mike Young has to do. His objective number one, build a starting five. And it's, you know, and think about this. Some of these guys might have been in college for a long time. I'm sure there's a bunch of guys in the portal that are using their fifth year of eligibility, their COVID year. This is the final group that has that. I'm sure a bunch of them have ties to Mike Young and the staff from their previous recruitment, right? I think of a Robbie Barron.
Yeah.
Mike Young has to hit the nail on the head, though. He has to get guys that fit his system. And I think Robbie Barron was highly recruited, and I thought Robbie was a pretty good fit. However, I think not having Makai Long hurt because Makai Long was very good defensively. Barron was, but together they would have made a really good punch, 1-2 punch at the four. The problem is it was basically Robbie Barron and then Tyler Nickel was playing the four whenever Barron was out. And in some games that was a lot because he got into foul trouble. You have to have depth. And kind of do or die time now for Mike Young.
Just a massive question mark surrounding Virginia Tech men's basketball right now.
And don't forget about the women.
I know.
I mean, the women, you know, there's a very good chance both men's and women's basketball teams next year have completely different starting fives.
Yeah.
Welcome to this day and age in college basketball.
Yep. Yeah, a lot of question marks surrounding the women, too. And I think some of those will maybe start to get answered in the next couple of days, but time will tell. David, we appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man.
That's David Cunningham. I'm Carter Hill. And that was your Thursday installment of TSL Today.